900 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An unexpectedly positive development on the border security bill talks. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says details will be released in the coming days.
Conversations are ongoing. Some issues still need resolution, but we are getting very close on the National Security Supplemental.
At least 165 people were injured in a fire caused by an explosion at a gas filling point in Nairobi, say Kenyan police. No word what caused it. The White House is tight-lipped over how it's going to retaliate for the deadly drone attack on U.S. troops in Jordan. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby speaking to reporters on Air Force One.
This will be a multi-tiered approach over a period of time. The first thing you see will not be the last thing you see.
Federal investigators looking into the collapse of a steel airplane hangar that was under construction in Boise, Idaho yesterday. Three people killed, several others hurt. It was an up day on Wall Street. This is ABC News. Factory workers taken hostage overseas.
Turkish media reporting two gunmen have taken seven hostages at a factory owned by U.S. company Procter & Gamble in Gezbe, northwest Turkey, with the move coming in apparent response to the Israel-Hamas war. P&G's head office in Cincinnati confirmed an ongoing incident, with a spokesperson saying, quote, "The safety of P&G people and our partners is our top priority. Earlier today, we evacuated our Gezbe facility and are working with local authorities to resolve an urgent security situation."
ABC's Inez de la Quintera. Apple reporting modest revenue growth from October through December. It ends four consecutive quarters of year-over-year declines. State senators in Indiana have passed a bill that would hold back thousands of third-grade students who don't pass the state's reading exam. Lawmakers say they want to reverse declining literacy rates. According to Indiana's Education Department, about 18% of third graders didn't pass the reading test just last year. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Museums in Wisconsin are scrambling to comply with a new federal rule that makes them get permission from tribal nations before displaying certain Native American artifacts. The new rule means significant changes for museums in other parts of the country, but less so in Wisconsin. The Universities of Wisconsin may not be done closing in-person classes at two-year branch campuses.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Governor Evers speaking at a WISP politics luncheon this week. A total of 4 2-year colleges will stop offering in-person classes after this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hire a new defensive coordinator. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Matt LaFleur putting out a statement. He has hired Jeff Hafley, age 44, head coach of the Boston College Eagles, to be the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Hafley's originally from New Jersey, played wide receiver in high school and a small college, had secondary coaching stints at Rutgers and Pitt, then got into the NFL, where he's a secondary coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. After that, 2 years as a co-defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, then in in December of 2019, hired as the new coach in Boston. Matt LaFleur says, "We are excited to welcome Jeff and his family to the Packers and the Green Bay community. He's had success at every stop of his coaching career and an impressive track record of developing players at every level. We look forward to Jeff leading our defense." NBA, Bucks in Portland against the Trailblazers tonight. Again, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator for the Packers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, patchy fog, and a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny, high approaching 40. More sunshine this weekend, highs mid-40s. Little change into next week, temperatures stay well above average into the 40s as dry conditions continue. Right now, it's 31.
Hey everybody, this is Todd Allball. At noon on Friday, Trigby Olsen is in the host chair. Don't miss it. Gonna be a great show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Work on Patreon, Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles, so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lohia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 29, then Friday sunshine with a high of 43. The music is still the hottest at Crooner's Supper Club in Fridley. Crooner's is located just north of I-694 off Highway 65 in Morlake Drive. View their upcoming music schedules and food menus at croonersloungemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kaliki. To all my friends and relatives, you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, I'm having trouble here, Haley. I got a delay.
I know. I can hear that. Well, good thing we have Robert Lilligren here with us. And I just want to give a big shout out to Robert. And this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis. And thank you, Robert, for being with us today.
Yeah, Buju Haley, Buju Robert. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we have a couple, we have some updates here from the great governor of the state of Wisconsin. Robert and I are Ho-Chunks, so we always like to get these updates on for our Wisconsin friends out there. So this is the Governor Tony Evers update number one. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
Hey awesome. There, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
I said during my State of the State address last week that I have never been more hopeful that when Wisconsinites head to the ballot box later this year, they'll be voting under legislative maps that finally reflect the people of the state. Wisconsinites don't want Republican or Democrat maps because Wisconsin isn't a red or blue state. We're a purple state, and our maps should reflect that basic fact. Wisconsinites deserve maps that are fair, responsive, and reflect the will of the people. And my promise to the people of Wisconsin is that I will always fight for fair maps. I will not accept anything less. It's about doing the right thing, and it's as simple as that. That's why today I'm delivering on my promise to the people of our state and vetoing the maps Republicans introduced and passed last week. And here's why. The people of Wisconsin have lived under some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country for a decade. That's a fact. These maps are more of the same. Republicans pass maps to help make sure Republican gerrymandered incumbents get to keep their seats. Folks, that's just more gerrymandering. Allowing politicians to move district lines so that their party can retain political power doesn't help root out gerrymandering from our democracy. It further entrenches it, and that's wrong. I was proud to submit maps to the Wisconsin Supreme Court to consider that are responsive to the will of the people, avoid partisan bias, and increase the number of competitive legislative seats. And I remain as optimistic as ever that Wisconsinites will soon have the fair maps they deserve at long last. Thank you.
Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow, that was awesome. Hey, do I sound okay right now, Haley?
Yeah, a lot better. You sound good.
I'm in this foreign country, Wisconsin, here, and I'm in Madison right now and broadcasting live from Civic Media here on State Street, which brings back a lot of old memories. Hey, Robert, great to have you on, and a lot going on the Avenue. I know there's stuff happening tonight, and there's just a lot of things going on, and it's great to have you on, and thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, Miigwech. It's bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. Always a pleasure. There's always a lot going on, and I had actually intended to be in the office for the segment, but other things kind of took over and exploded my afternoon schedule. But yeah, we have a big opening in our All My Relations Arts Gallery tonight. I would invite anyone listening to come on down.
I will be there, yeah. So I'm excited to come.
Oh, cool. Hey, I look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely.
Haley, Robert, were you able to see the documentary on Henry Boucher yet? Were you there last night with Haley and all the other people?
I was not, but I would love to hear what Haley has to say about it.
Well, I just got to say, I mean, Leia, I was expecting, I don't know, just great work from her, and because of her previous documentaries that she's done and the awards she's gotten for that. And I mean, she just, it blew my mind. And I know that great storytelling always can draw emotions. And I will have to say, I was sitting by Thomas Draskovic, and hopefully he doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but we both were tearing up, you know, in the middle of the documentary, and it was just really beautiful. And Leah Hale did such another really great job. So I hope that you guys can check it out. It should be airing on PBS at the end of March, I believe.
Very cool. And I'm guessing they'll be streaming it then after that. And Leah's work is just so impressive. And she's really making a name for herself and telling our community stories.
Yeah, it was interesting. Maybe I can drop your name, Robert, and ask Leah for a copy of that online. What were those called? The streamers in the old days? to get
well, I don't think you'll have to drop my name, Robert. Drop your own name. I'm sure she'll be happy to provide a copy.
So, what can you talk a little bit about tonight? Because again, I'm here in Madison with a little FOMO here, and we got a lot of artists and a lot of things happening. And Robert, I'm just excited the way the Avenue is and the way people come out in a good way.
Yeah, thanks. There's so much going on. And for folks that aren't local, our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, promotes the community vision of an American Indian Cultural Corridor. And so within our little tiny yellow building on Franklin Avenue, which is the corridor, we host Paul Brown's Coffee Shop, which is a huge community meeting space. It's not huge in space, but it's a lot of people attend it. We also have our offices and, of course, our All My Relations Arts Gallery under the brilliant direction of Angela Two Stars, our All My Relations Arts Director. And tonight is an opening that I'm super excited about. It's a show called Okizi, or To Heal. And what's new and interesting about this show is that it's a partnership with the American Swedish Institute. The American Swedish Institute, or ASI, is a really significant organization here in Minneapolis with a long history of Swedish immigration, and it has a national, or really international, profile. And so they brought some Swedish artists, one of whom is Sami, And if folks know the story of the indigenous Sami people in Scandinavia, it very much parallels the story of indigenous people here in our culture, in our country. And, you know, it's a story of cultural appropriation, forced assimilation, and even some genocide. And so this is really a good partnership. It's going to raise the profile of our gallery and our work in a community that maybe isn't familiar with it yet, the patrons of the American Swedish Institute. But I'm excited. As soon as we're done here, I'm heading in to the gallery.
Right on. I'm excited, yeah. too. I'm excited to see the similarities between the different artists, between the Swedish Institute and then our Native community members as well.
Right. And we had some people coming in for a little preview. The show looks great. And one of them had, from her family's Sami history, some recordings of songs by her Sami ancestors who were able to record them. And she said they sound so much like the Native American songs that we hear. Yeah. So there are, I don't know how much you know, Haley, Robert, about the Sami history, but very similar and parallel to the story of our relatives and our ancestors.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like John Trudeau always talked about that. Originally, we were all from tribes. Originally, we all came from the same place. And as we got colonized over and over again, the natives were the last to be colonized here in this continent. And we all are from earth and sky, I believe.
That is so beautifully put, Robert. And I know you know our former All My Relations Arts Director and current artist partner, Rory Wakeham. And he always said it very beautifully. He would always say, everyone is from an indigenous culture and everyone's been colonized. That has to do with how much history has passed since you were colonized. And I feel like indigenous ways are the answer to a lot of our challenges within our world today.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Hey, we have another update here, a quick one from the Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. And this might be, I don't know, Robert, and well, I guess both Roberts here. This might be one of my favorite updates we've had on the show from Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, and you will see why, or I guess you'll hear why, but here it is.
What has happened on the issue of reproductive freedom in Wisconsin over the last 2 years is another good example of why we need fair maps. For a decade now, 60% of Wisconsinites on average have consistently said they support abortion being legal in all or most cases. And yet, each time I've asked Republicans to restore Wisconsinites' reproductive freedom to what it was the day before the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe, they said no. And because of that, Wisconsin women spent over a year experiencing firsthand what it's like to live in a state that bans nearly all abortions, even in cases of rape or incest. Today, thanks to the lawsuit Democrats filed days after the Supreme Court decision, Wisconsinites now have the same reproductive freedom in Wisconsin that they did on June 23, 2022, before Roe was overturned.
I mean, that's...
Wow.
Right?
Wow, yeah. We like to hear that. Now I don't mind being here in Madison right now, Robert.
Yeah, good place to be. Thanks for sharing that, Haley. That is huge. And it's just one more indication of how elections matter, right? And that Wisconsin has a governor like Evers to pursue this kind of justice, reproductive justice.
Right. Hey, Robert, you mind talking a little national politics here for a bit?
I was hoping you'd ask. the clown show that is the Republican primary season.
I just have to, and I know it's been brought up for quite a few days here, but since he got slammed with another $83 million lawsuit, he hasn't really been saying much.
Right. Maybe he's actually learning his lesson. If you hit him in the pocketbook where it matters, maybe he'll shut his mouth and stop defaming people. And I'm guessing this isn't the last one of these kinds of awards that we'll see through this season.
Well, we're getting to that point now, Robert, where it's like, okay, you don't have enough money to pay $83 million, but you're telling everybody you're worth this much money. So he's in a situation where he has to pay the money if he wants to withhold that lie that he's been saying how much he's been worth all these years.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he'll appeal this, of course, and it'll kind of drag it out. But even his leading PAC that's been covering his legal bills, I was just reading this afternoon, has $5 million left in the bank because they've been doling out so much, some $150 million in legal fees to attorneys to defend him in a multiple lawsuit. So I just wonder how long some people are going to support him no matter what, but how long are people going to be willing to be paying his lawyers rather than sort of promoting his candidacy? So we shall see.
Well, Robert, you know, too, Nikki Haley is finally saying stuff. It's taken this long, but she's finally bringing up the things that we've been talking about and a lot of progressive people have been talking about. One is health. You know, he's thinking Nikki Haley's, you know, someone else, and just all these things that we as progressive people and Democrats have seen over the years.
Right. And just to be super clear, Nikki Haley is no big ally, no big ally to most of America, certainly to women. And she's a little less offensive, right? But she's pretty much in lockstep with that MAGA perspective. I just read another article today that where Nikki Haley was talking about, well, if Texas wants to secede, that's their right. Let them do it. You know, I don't, to me, that doesn't sound like someone I would want in the president's office or as our commander in chief, but yeah, That's what she's saying.
Well, don't get me wrong, she's a meatball too, but finally, you know, somebody, you know, Chris Christie was the only one giving him a hard time and everyone was bowing down to him. Finally, she's saying something.
I agree. And I was just reading some, just before I came on, some polling numbers, and that President Biden is up now 6% ahead of Trump. And with women, he's up 22%. And I think that shows who's going to be deciding this election coming up and where we need to focus our efforts. But I am hopeful.
Well, I hung out with the crew here in Civic Media here in Madison as we play all over the Civic Media network. And I was hanging out with them last night, and they reminded me they went to Trump's inaugural and that there was hardly anyone there. And the next day was the Women's March, and that was unbelievable.
Right. Such a show of power. Yeah, I had a lot of friends that went out there for that march, and it was in the millions, right? Of
yes.
People that participated. And those lovely, I'm kind of surprised they're still not around more, but those pink knit hats that folks were wearing, I loved those hats. And yeah, it was quite a statement, quite a show of power.
Yeah, and so I really feel like we and by the polls and what's happened in these other elections coming up to this one, that again that we've talked about where the Republicans have lost 13 out of the 15 endorsed candidates across the country, that we're going to be doing okay, but we need to still talk about, need to be engaged, and need to get first-time voters out there to vote.
That's just it. We need to be organizing, right? And there are voters that are dissatisfied with the Biden administration for good reason. And we need to be reaching people, convincing them of the importance of this election. And we do this work at Native American Community Development Student ACTI through our Make Voting a Tradition project, which is a phenomenally successful civic engagement effort. And as we've been planning for 2024, kind of looking back to 2020, 2016, and these big elections, you know, we're planning to so that our work can scale up really rapidly. We've been doing outreach into rural and reservation communities so we can help fund and support their voter outreach as well. Because in my experience over the last few elections, as we get closer to the election day, resources just kind of pour into our community. Mm-hmm. And of course, at NACTI and with Make Voting a Tradition, that's year-round, sort of 24/7 engagement. We don't just come around when it's election time.
Right.
I heard very clearly from the community, if you want us engaged and you want us to make voting a tradition, you need to be here all the time. But a lot of resources do come in sort of last minute, and so we're ready for it this year. We're ready to really scale up rapidly. We have an army of canvassers and organizers that are trained and ready to go, and we will do our part to turn out Native votes, both in the urban and rural and tribal communities.
Yeah, we're excited to be partners with you and have you on and remind how things are happening, because what's happening right now, I feel like, is a scare tactic. The national media is not getting this, and people are a little frightened about what's going on. But I just say, get out there and vote. And there's no way there's ways to push Biden more of a progressive way, but he's got to be president. You can't do anything with Trump.
Right, right. That's exactly it. And, you know, just like your message from Governor Evers, you know, there's so much effort being put into to suppressing votes, Native votes, women votes, people of color voting. And so it means that we have to put that extra effort into making sure people get to the polls. And I'll just make the obvious statement that it's so un-American and anti-democratic to be suppressing the vote and to be proud of that, right? Mm-hmm. Republicans are just proud of the fact that they're limiting access to voting. And, you know, my little Democratic heart, it just finds that so offensive. You know, and whether you like the outcome of votes or not, and I've had rough elections myself as an elected official, but you got to respect the decision of the voters, and you got to promote people getting to the polls.
Well, I think you and I have been talking over 5 years on Native Roots Radio, and I just want to give a quick shout out if I haven't already. We've been on 7 years now, and I think the last almost 4 years we've been on 5 days a week. So you've been part of the team getting the word out there, and I just want to say it's just really great having you on and having you in the community and being able to see you. And I learn a lot, and I know Haley learns a lot, and we're just really stoked that you're with us.
You know, I am so grateful to be on the show and to support your excellent work, Haley and Robert. And yeah, so it's thrilling. And one other project at NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, that I wanted to lift up.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An unexpectedly positive development on the border security bill talks. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says details will be released in the coming days.
Conversations are ongoing. Some issues still need resolution, but we are getting very close on the National Security Supplemental.
At least 165 people were injured in a fire caused by an explosion at a gas filling point in Nairobi, say Kenyan police. No word what caused it. The White House is tight-lipped over how it's going to retaliate for the deadly drone attack on U.S. troops in Jordan. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby speaking to reporters on Air Force One.
This will be a multi-tiered approach over a period of time. The first thing you see will not be the last thing you see.
Federal investigators looking into the collapse of a steel airplane hangar that was under construction in Boise, Idaho yesterday. Three people killed, several others hurt. It was an up day on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court told the State Elections Commission not to send the presidential primary ballot to local clerks as they decide whether or not Democrat Dean Phillips should be added as a candidate. Phillips asked the court to intervene last week, saying that he was unfairly left off the ballot. The court needs to decide fast, as ballots need to be sent to military and overseas voters by the 15th. A new governor's task force is looking for solutions to Wisconsin's healthcare worker shortage. John Ike heads the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. He says the problem is especially bad in the state's smaller communities.
It is harder to make the math work. There's just not enough in the funding pools to pay for this to go away.
The panel aims to offer some solutions in time for work on the next two-year state budget. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Attention adventure seekers! When it comes to outdoor fun, there's only one destination in Oshkosh that's got you covered. Your Boat Club, your premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. We're serious about fun, and that means carrying some serious brands like Patagonia, Roxy, Helly Hansen, Smartwool, Telec, and Old Town. And don't forget our rentals for snowshoes, cross-country skis, and fat tire bikes. When you're serious about fun, shop Your Boat Club, located at 1232 North Sawyer Street, or head to yourboatclub.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, patchy fog, and a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny, high approaching 40. More sunshine this weekend, highs mid-40s. Little change into next week. Temperatures stay well above average into the 40s as dry conditions continue. Current temp is 30.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
We live yesterday while supporting the future of cancer research for kids. It's American English, described as one of the best Beatles tributes around, and highlighting the Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer, or the MAC Fund, during an important show in Northeast Wisconsin.
Research or money locally in Wisconsin to help try to find a cure.
Greg,
your home for Mino and the Mayor in the Morning, weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lothia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 29, then Friday sunshine with a high of 43. The music is still the hottest at Crooner's Supper Club in Fridley. Crooner's is located just north of I-694 off Highway 65 in Morlake Drive. View their upcoming music schedules and food menus at croonersloungemn.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. Hey, I am here with a special guest of mine, and I want you to introduce yourself, Chris.
Hi, everybody. My name's Kristen Whiteagle. I am a Ho-Chunk tribal member and a colleague of Mr. Pilot's.
Yes, and we do have fun, and we're here together in Madison, Wisconsin, at the 2024 Renew Wisconsin Summit. And I just thought it'd be really fun because, Chris, you always take great notes on what you thought about the symposium and the summit.
Oh, thanks for that. Which you caught me on this because I have some pretty rough notes today. So that may be indicative of the vast amount of information that I was engaged in today. This is a one-day conference. Bobby, just probably what you saw too, that this may even be something that needs to be multiple days. There seemed to be a lot going on in this arena now.
Wow, I really agree. I didn't think about that because I'm hitting a brick wall here, and I'm driving back to the God's country, Minnesota, here in a little bit.
You're in God's country. You are here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the day today started at 7:45 a.m. Microgrids, that is something of great interest for the community I'm in. I live in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Microgrid would be very beneficial for the facility, say, Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells, the casino, the convention center, the hotel. We have within that same vicinity an American Legion Post building. We have in that vicinity the House of Wellness for a clinic, a wow. gym, community center there. And we're looking forward to having that 40-unit housing development coming up soon, too, as well.
Wow. So what you're saying is that I should move to Wisconsin?
Yes. Yes. God's country.
Yeah. No, and that's exciting. I think one of the things that I'd really like to see is that the TOB have some beautiful, solar panels on the roof and really give it out a good reaction to the members and people that visit that is that we're on our way.
I absolutely agree. I think the tribal office building and that campus with the health clinic nearby there as well and our food distribution, all of that could benefit greatly from the power, benefits from renewable energy. I'm sure that those facilities generate a lot of power and have a lot of needs for that. And when we think of even our food distribution area on the same campus, the necessity for them to have freezers and the refrigerated systems that they must have, just think of the necessity of what that power is taking. So if we can get to that point where even 90% or get to net zero, man, this is going to be amazing for the nation if we could do this.
Yeah, it would save a lot of money, and you can put in a lot of different things. And that's an exciting, you know, and that isn't even getting to a point of like batteries that we're learning about and selling back at peak times to these companies. So those are things that experts, and we're finding out that there's getting to be more and more experts. There's one thing I know you have some great notes, but I want to jump into this real quick. I think it's really interesting how we really need to reach out to our members and our relatives about a job creation and get them in this, because this looks like this is nothing but getting bigger and bigger when it comes to jobs and opportunities.
Absolutely. And to not even have maybe that division or department right now within the nation is probably a critical need for us to get to. We absolutely need that. It almost seems that, you know, many times outside organizations or those that are familiar with the Ho-Chunk Nation, they'll say to me, they'll ask, you know, how far are you with your renewable energy planning and where are you at? Because they think of us as leaders in that from, you know, a historical perspective, but they need to know from a current perspective that that's important to us too. Because I think our membership, our community members, all those that we talk to and our relatives, like you said, they want us to do that as a nation together.
Absolutely. And I think, too, job creation, too, is what I was trying to mumble out here. Sorry about that. Job creation is huge. And also, I'm hoping, and I'm not 100% clear about this, and I think we're still in a learning mode, but I'd really like to see if this is like a economic development in with the batteries and the storing of the and selling it back.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Bobby, there just seems to be a plethora of, I guess, resources that we came across today. And when you're referring to the workforce development and those needs, we saw what UW Extension here today. We saw Madison Area Technical College. We saw engineer companies that are providing their own apprenticeship and internship, programs for everybody. We have seen almost every one of these organizations state workforce development is very important. If you don't become part of that effort to provide the jobs and look at what we do in advance of that, even train them, provide these programs within our own current departments and within our nation, we're going to be behind. We're going to be way behind on getting this done.
You know, one of the interesting things I sat in on today, and I think you were in a different meeting, was they were talking about making sure that we are in the forefront and that we are really taking control of our own destiny, whether it's becoming our own energy co-op, or there's things that we can do, but we have to take the first steps, and first steps are often hard to do.
Yeah, and we heard a lot from Bob Blake as well, who's a regular on your program. You know, it was really nice to see Bob give the keynote address for the closing for today's session, and he spoke a lot about that and sharing some of the different initiatives that he did as well. And, you know, he focused that. He did tell everybody in the group, you need to focus on workforce development. But he also mentioned these other things he was a part of, the Tribal Utilities Commission, a Tribal Energy Advisory Board. He spoke about the importance of community engagement and these, using technology and AI and virtual technology to get some of that training out there and to utilize what's out there, because if we don't start doing something now, as I stated before, we're going to be behind the buck.
And I think this is one of the things that I struggle with in a good way, mm-hmm. when it comes to my other job that we work together at, is to communicate to our constituents and our friends. And I think that was one of the things mm-hmm. that I really learned in that offshoot meeting that I was in, and you were in a different one, is that communications. People need to be excited about what you're doing and buy into what you're doing, or you won't have people come to your workforce meetings.
Yeah, the communication is extremely important, just to have not just the buy-in, but to have that awareness of what's occurring. Too often we have to fill in the gaps. If we aren't aware of what's occurring, we're going to fill in the gaps of that knowledge that we don't have. So having that involvement of the community, having all the stakeholders be participative in what the planning, what the thoughts are critical. And that is something like in my normal job, my 24-hour-a-day job,
exactly.
That we do consider how do we do that? How do we reach as many people as possible so that they can help us to do what they want us to do?
And that's communication. And, geez, I agree 100%. And I think it's interesting Bob brought up, and he didn't really go into it, but people were upset with him for bringing battery cars up to Red Lake, and it's just maybe, I don't even know, but that was a communications problem.
And there we go, a perfect example. And I think we heard a couple others too of examples of that, and they said, don't do what we did, learn from us.
Yeah.
I heard that multiple times. And there were so many success stories that were shared today. There was one segment too, what was this? They were talking about their stories. Do you remember that? some of them were sharing, here it is, the renewable energy stories that they shared. And we've heard so many of these major projects that are not just underway, they have completed them, and they were considered part of an honor roll now for the state of Wisconsin. And I was just amazed that so much has occurred, that we have a lot of experts now because they've been through it. I look at it as, wow, you know, I could not see the end yet, because I'm not an expert in it. And we don't have an expert in this field, in any of this field, with the energy field in the Ho-Chunk Nation. So this was very eye-opening. And that communication factor and learning from those mistakes is something I took out of this conference today.
It was fun, too, because I'm a former high school teacher. I talk about that. And the school that went, or the district that went totally battery buses, that will save the district $1 million over, I guess he said, the next 4 or 5 years. I can't remember. But just the things of learning that they put the charger on the wrong end, and fun things like that, that he was able to laugh at himself when they pulled in the bus to have the grand opening. It was the charging system was in the front, and so fun things like that. But I think, you know, when we talk about the TOB, the buildings like that that the nation owns, I really think that getting renewable on top of those buildings and making them work in schools, I mean, so much money is spent on energy in schools across the country. Get some solar panels up there.
Right. And you were earlier mentioning about seeing those solar panels on a lot more of our buildings. And I was thinking of this new housing development in Baraboo, Wisconsin, that we're calling the Village West housing development. You know, we're using low-income housing tax credits for that. And I can actually see, you know, in that development there, having solar flowers, where that is just more appealing to me than any of those other examples.
Well, the solar flowers do move towards the sun, too. Some of them, they move and follow the sun as long as you got the free sky. But I've looked at those. And again, you know, we've learned so many things here on Native Roots Radio that, you know, solar, doesn't matter how cold, it works better in the cold weather. Just to ask Skylab and all those things that are up in space that run on solar. I want to just thank you so much for spending time, and I'd love to have you on again.
I'm there.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Oh.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever. Securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Hey, right now we have an encore sacred animal segment from Wendy Pilot. This one is from the past January 17th, and we hope you enjoy.
Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, and I want to do a little free advertisement for an item that I bought that I think is just awesome for your pet. So Robert and I decided that we were going to drive to New York. I think it's around 1,900 miles. So we were going to drive for a long time. I think the whole trip took us about 20 hours, but we were traveling with our little dog, Wanda, and everybody has heard about Wanda. She is a little black Shih Tzu. She's a rescue. We rescued her about 7 years ago, and she's our heart. Like, we both love this little dog so much. And the thought of bringing her on the road with us was so exciting, but also really worrisome because we were going to stop at a lot of places, rest stops. We were going to stay in a hotel overnight one night. We were going to walk her on streets and places that she's not familiar with. And the thought of me and Robert losing her was just something I could not even imagine. Many years ago, Robert and I lost our dog, Mickey. Robert and I were out of town, and we had a pet sitter staying at our house. And Mickey got out, and I think there was a storm. We don't know the whole story. We never really found out the truth. But somehow Mickey got out, and he was gone. That was really, I'd have to say, maybe one of the top three most horrible times in my life was losing Mickey and not knowing where he was. And back then, we didn't really have the tools that we do today. So Robert got on his computer right away, made up little posters and pictures of Mickey, and Robert and I went around our neighborhood and put these posters out on every lamppost that we could find in the neighborhood. And sure enough, I think it was, I don't know how many hours later, 30 hours, I'm just going to guess from my memory, we got a call from a little boy who said, "I think I have your dog in our backyard." And, you know, we went and we got Mickey. Now, today, there's so many more options, right? There's microchips, there's tracking devices. Just having a collar with your dog's name on it is really important. And I'm telling you, we have all three. So Wanda is microchipped. So anybody out there who's moved, change their phone number, just update that information, because that information is really important to be updated at all times. And I think having your dog microchipped is a great tool, but it's not the only tool out there. And I think it needs to really be combined with other things. Your dog would have to be found, would have to be picked up, and have to be brought to the vet to be scanned to find that information. And while it's really good, other items as well works great. So Wanda also has a little tag around her neck, shaped as a bone, has her name on it, and Robert and I, our phone numbers. So that's great. But these tags, they fall off. If your dog is running through bushes, running through a fence, it could get snagged and taken off the collar. So what I purchased before we left from leaving St. Paul, Minnesota, to coming from Long Island, New York, was a Roam tag. Roam, R-O-A-M, tag. It is an Apple product, and this is a tracking device, and you put it on your phone, and you could track the animal. on your phone. So the one we got attaches to her collar. So the collar kind of goes in and out, and it's on the collar. And then I have all the information in my phone, and no matter where I am, I can go on my phone and just go to the app, Find My. So, you know, find your whatever. And we have Wanda set up with all of our information. And somebody could just, it's a QR code. That's exactly what it is, a barcode. So whoever has a phone can just click on, scan the code, and it will give you her name, our phone numbers, where you could contact us. So I think that's a really good tool to have. And then I could go on and see where she is, like, oh, okay, and find the address where she is. I could find her exact location, and it will show me as she is walking wherever she's going. So I think this is a really good tool. So between these three things that she has, the Roam tag, which is great, it's like less than $50. You just upload it on your phone. It's simple. It's really easy to use. And you could see where your animal is anytime. And then we have the little, name tag. Name tag, microchipped in this. Three things that she has on her because we did not want to lose her. So Wanda is safe and sound. She made it through the trip without getting lost, which we're really happy about. She really was good on the trip too. She's a really good traveler. She stayed in the crate in the back. I have it set up so it's high enough so she gets to look outside. I have it all bungee corded up so it's really stable and secure. So if God forbid we got into an accident, the crate is, you know, sturdy. It's not going to fly around the car. So she's safe in there. There's lots of blankets and stuff in there. So I think she is acclimating to New York. She is barking a lot at people who come in and out of the condo building because she's used to having, living in a house. So it's nice and quiet. And the good thing is when we're home in Minnesota in St. Paul, we have a nice little backyard. It's a small yard, but it's great for her. It's all fenced in, and we could just let her out, right? If it's snowing, raining, whatever, we just let her out. She goes potty, comes right back in the house, especially in these cold temperatures. But now in New York, we don't have a little backyard that's fenced in, so rain, sleet, snow, darkness, whatever. We have to get that leash on her and go for a walk. The good thing is, hey, it gets me out of the house, right? It gets me walking. And there's been some cold, rainy days here where I would have just stayed in the condo and not have gone out at all. But this gets me to go out. So with that, keep your pet safe out there and take it easy. Back to you, Robert and Haley.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. We'll be back tomorrow for Fun Friday with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. If you have been listening to Native Roots Radio, you are part of our resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and free Leonard Peltier now.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected.
and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.